The following is a special announcement for listeners of the Where is God's Word program with Bruce Musselman. On the morning of May 15th, Brother Bruce Musselman went home to be with the Lord following a short illness. His last new radio program aired just 8 days before his passing. Please join me in praying for the Musselman family and Bruce's friends and colleagues. For now and the next couple of months, we will be airing classic Bruce Musselman programs from our archives. We trust you will be edified and encouraged by these vintage programs. Now, let's join this week's edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mantua Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And that is Scripture, and we have a reason to rejoice when we've been saved. I know that we have a lot of problems in this life, but the Bible talks about it came to pass, and everything, every problem we have will pass, and we have a bright future more than we can hardly even imagine with knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and knowing that our sins are forgiven and that we are with Him. Now, this program has the purpose of upholding the Bible as the Word of God. And someone has said to me recently, well, I could just write something too and say, I said. And yes, they could do that, but it wouldn't be believed by millions of people. But millions of people down through the ages have staked their life on the Bible because of the fact that it has evidence and proof that it's the Word of God. And the final proof that it is God's Word is, number one, Jesus said so, and He demonstrated that He was God by His miracles. And then it has a unity of thought to it, and it also has prophecy. And the prophecy that God has predicted in the future is detailed. It's not in general things like some of the man-made prophets, but is very specific prophecies. And the Bible says that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, and that is the whole Bible is about Him. And although it's 66 books with about 40 different authors over a period of thousands of years, yet it talks about Christ. And the more you study it, the more you see that it's all centered in the Lord Jesus Christ, our wonderful Savior, who was born into this world. And God is an eternal spirit, and Jesus is God, but He took on 2,000 years ago a body and came into this world and demonstrated that He was God by the incredible works that He was able to do. And the Gospels primarily show that Jesus is Lord over the demons, Lord over the devil, Lord over sickness, Lord over storms, Lord over disease, Lord over death. And there is four Gospels given to this theme, and they certainly prove it. But after Jesus had risen from the dead, there was two disciples that were walking, and this was very shortly after He had risen from the dead, and they were walking to a town named Emmaus, and Jesus caught up with them, and right away they did not recognize Him, but He talked with them, and then they invited Him to come in and eat a meal, and so He came in and sat down, and then He began to open the Scriptures to them. And that was referring to the 39 books of the Tanakh, or the Old Testament. And He began to show them through the whole of the Bible that was written at that time that it talked about Him. And they didn't understand this much. And He made this statement. He said, "Then He said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory?" And so the prophets predicted about Jesus. And as I've said many times on this program, you go to a foreign country, you have to have a passport. And you open it up and they look at it, they look at you, and then they allow you to come into the country because they have read about you and found out about you. Now, Jesus had a passport. It was 39 books. And it was saying that the God of this universe, that created the universe and runs it, would come to this earth and be here first as a baby, then as a child, and then grow up and live here with us. And so Jesus was showing them, He was giving a Bible lesson to them to show them the passages in the Bible that referred to himself. And that must have been some Bible class. That's what all of us need to be doing. When we learn something about the Lord, invite somebody over to your house and show them some of the passages of the Bible, just like Jesus did. As he is in the world, so are we. We're to do the same thing. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. And so we're to, Jesus says, as my Father sent me, so send I you. And we need to be given a witness. You say, well, they're not getting saved. Well, you just give them a witness. And many times it takes a while. And the Bible says that the mouth of two or three witnesses shall a thing be established. And so always be out there and willing to talk. You don't have to force it on anybody. And people say that we're trying to force it on them. They're lying anyway about that. I don't talk to somebody if they've refused to talk to me. But there's people out there that will listen. And you tell them that God wants to have a family. And he wants you to be part of the family. And so you can be part of God's wonderful and glorious family. So Jesus was showing them in the Bible. And so we need to open up the Bible and show them. And finally, he reveals himself to them, and he says, peace be unto you. And then he says, why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. So Jesus in his glorified body is a body of flesh and bones. And the Bible says we're going to get one like that too, but it's not going to have blood in it. It'll be an immortal body that lasts forever and ever. And so he shows, I'm not just a spirit. I'm really alive and I'm well again. When he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they were yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophet and in the Psalms concerning me. Now people ask, what books are to be in the Bible? Well, the Jewish people at that time, they divided up the Bible into those three areas. It was the law of Moses, the Psalms, that was what King David had written, and a few other people, and the prophets. And that together makes our 39 books of the Old Testament. That started in Genesis and ended in the book of Malachi. And so this is how the Bible was divided, and that's how we know. Somebody, a pastor that lived in about the year 250, or he lived in 150, and he was pastor of the church at Sardis, which was a town in what is today called Turkey. And he did a lot of research on this, and he showed that these were the books that the Jewish people accepted. These were the books that were divided by Christ in this way, and it was the same books in our Old Testament that we have. And that's how we know that those books should be in. And we talked about it last week, but in the New Testament, it was books written by the apostles or people that were working with the apostles. And so when they died, that was the end of it, and Jesus said you weren't to add to it. Now, he said that he was going to show them, and he did show them all the things that were written in those books concerning him. It says, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Now, they had heard about it before, but see, they didn't get it right away. And people are born spiritually blind, and so they must hear about it. And at a certain point, God can open their eyes. But now their eyes are open. He said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and the repentance and remission of sins. That means your sins have been paid for. And when you shop at the store and you pay the money, they give you a little paper. That's called a remittance. It's in black and white. And if you get stopped at the door, you hand them the paper and it shows that you paid for the goods that you were taking out. And when it says, when a person repents, they're willing to turn from sin to Jesus Christ and accept him as Lord and Savior, that he's their God, at that point, their sins have been paid for 2,000 years ago, and they have it in black and white, and that is in the Bible. And it says, repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. So it's when you receive Jesus Christ that your sins are forgiven, and they're paid for. And it says it should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And so they went out and preached to all nations at that time, and we're still preaching to all nations today. And ye are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem till ye be endured with power from on high. So what did he show them in the Old Testament? Here's some of the things that we could mention about the Old Testament where it talks about Jesus. And we're going to talk about this in just a minute, but we'll take a break.
You're listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you have a question or comment about today's program, please contact us. Our email address is sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. And now let's return to more of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.
And that's why we have the program to uphold the true Word of God. And we have mentioned it many times. Over 99% of the ancient manuscripts, Greek manuscripts, will back up the King James Bible. And then the King James is also based on the Hebrew Masoretic text. And I think that you can understand the these and nows. People say, I can't understand thee and now. Well, you ought to be able to understand that. That's sort of silly when people say that, as far as I'm concerned. You can understand it, and the Holy Spirit of God will help you to understand his wonderful word. And we believe God has given us a perfect Bible. And people today in books you read, they'll say, the Bible is true, every word is true, it's infallible, it's inspired, God has given us a perfect Bible. Then you say, which one? Well, they disagree in thousands of words, and they don't come from the same underlying text, either in the Old Testament, the Hebrew Masoretic text. They don't come from the same source, and they don't come from the same source in the New Testament. And modern ones, the texts that they come from have been messed with. But we have the true word of God, and Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. So anyway, we got through with that's a long announcement today. Now, Jesus was shown in the whole Bible is about Christ. It has a unity of thought. And first of all, in the book of Genesis, you read in chapter 3, it talks about the seed of the woman crushing the devil's head or the serpent's head. And so the seed of the woman right there talks about the virgin birth that Moses has written down, and that God would come as a virgin, through a virgin, and come to this earth. So you have that virgin birth taught right away. And then you have the plan of salvation actually taught by Moses. And Moses said in his books, he said that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And it's recorded there that God told Moses this. You see, one sin will separate you from God. But Moses said, how do you deal with the sin? He said that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And so they had a sacrifice, and they killed a lamb, and that lamb covered their sin. It actually did not take it away. And when they died, they went to paradise, which was in the heart of the earth. But he said, without the shedding of blood, the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it upon the altar for the remission of sins. And so the blood had to be shed. And so it was a picture of Jesus Christ coming and dying and being the Lamb of God, which shed his blood for our sins. And the Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sins. So you see a unity of thought there. And you get to the book of Zechariah, and it says, by the blood of thy covenant, referring to the Messiah coming, to Christ coming, thou hast removed the prisoners from the wells without water. And so it is through Jesus' blood. And so the whole idea, there's a tremendous unity in the Bible. You have this, the Passover, which is still being celebrated by Israel today. And they had to take a lamb, and they would kill that lamb, and they would put the blood on the doorpost. And at a certain night, the death angel would pass over Egypt, and all the firstborn would die. But if you had the blood on the doorpost, the firstborn would live. And so they would take and roast the lamb, and they would eat it. And so it pictures the blood of Jesus Christ when by faith we have received him. And that is pictured as they ate the lamb physically. We, by faith, receive Jesus Christ. And his blood covers our sin. And we are covered by that. And when the death angel, when we physically die, and the death angel comes to take us to hell, why, the blood of Jesus covers us, and we go and we meet him, and we go to heaven. And we spend eternity with him. And so there's a unity of thought. Moses talks about it. Now, you look in the Psalms, and once again, and I'm just picking a few places out here in the Bible, but in the book of Psalms, we see that God has a son. And it says that he will sit on Mount Zion, and he says, I will declare the decree of the Lord. Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask me, and he says, I will give thee the kingdoms of this world. And then it says, King David said, who is a prophet of God, blessed are all they that trust in him. You see, when you put your faith in him, according to King David, who was a prophet of God, and God gave him the words in Psalm 2, you receive all the blessings of God, even though you sinned, and we all have. You receive the blessings of God given in the book of Psalms. Then we see Psalm 22, which describes the death agonies of Jesus when he was on the cross. And it's a greater description of him on the cross than other parts of the Bible, even in the New Testament. And then you see in Psalm 16, it talks about his resurrection. And David said, who is a prophet of God, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. And so Jesus' body went into the grave, but it would never corrupt. And Jesus would rise from the dead. And after he rose from the dead, the apostles that ran away in great fear, and Peter that even cursed and swore and said he didn't know Jesus, all of a sudden, after he saw him from rise from the dead, they became fearless. You know, if this was all something that somebody made up, and it was all just a fairy tale, you can better believe that there wouldn't even have been one person that would have died for it. Died for something he knew was a lie. But we have a record that practically all the apostles, except possibly John, physically were tortured and died for the fact that Jesus was the Son of God, that he died and was buried and rose from the dead. Our faith is based on fact. And it's mentioned by King David in the Old Testament. And then we see Jesus in the prophets. And in Isaiah 7:14, it says, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which is God with us. And this was a sign given to the house of David because Jesus would come through the ancestry of King David. He would be a descendant physically of King David. Now, you know, when he was born, we call it the virgin birth. And that means Jesus had no human father. His father was God. That made him God. But he had a human mother, and that was Mary, and therefore he was the God-man. And so Isaiah predicts this. In Isaiah 9:6, it says, this, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And here we have, who is given? The Son of God. And it says, a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is the source of everything that is wonderful. And it's mentioned in the Old Testament. In Isaiah 53, it talks about Jesus on the earth. It says he was despised and rejected of men. And so as a whole, he was rejected in that day. And even today, as a whole, the world has rejected him. And it says he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. But it says he was wounded for our transgressions. When Jesus was brutally beaten and his body was plowed like a field full of blood and flesh, and his face was beaten on and so that you couldn't even recognize his face, and he was spit on. Then he was crucified. Nails went in his hands and his feet. The Bible says that was our punishment being paid for by God himself because Jesus was God. It says in the Bible, feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his blood. And the God the Father in Psalms 1 says, unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. And so God, taking on a human body, came to this earth. And in Isaiah 53, it talks about it. It talks about his life and his death. And then it says, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his day. Well, he had no physical seed, despite what people say. There's no record of that in the Bible. He was not married, and he had no physical children, but he had seed. And his seed was spiritual children, and that's how we became part of Abraham's seed, Abraham's family, through the Messiah, through the Lord Jesus Christ, according to Isaiah 53, when we put our faith in him. And then it says that through his knowledge, he would justify many. Justify means to take care of the problem of our sin, pay for our sin, count his righteousness to us. And then it says that he would intercede for us. And I thank the Lord. I think my parents may have prayed for me every day of their life. But I'll tell you this, they have gone to be with Jesus in heaven, but Jesus prays for me. And that's why he says, I've lost none of them. And when you come to him and you receive him, Jesus over the years has had millions of people simply receive eternal life through faith in him. And he says, I've never lost any of them because he's prayed for him and he gets his prayers answered. And so Jesus is in heaven praying for us. He is our great high priest, our wonderful king, our wonderful savior, the creator of the world and the one that literally holds the universe together by the word of his power. And you know, I've read about the religious leaders of many different religions, but there is no one that compares to Jesus. What a glorious person. There is no one that can go and a man has been dead for 4 days like Lazarus and say, I say unto thee, come forth, and he raises him from the dead by the word of his power. There is no one that could heal the leper on the spot in front of a group of people. There's no one could say to the storms, peace be still, and the storm comes down. There is no one that could feed 5,000 men and women and children with a few loaves and fishes but our wonderful Lord and Savior. And he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And he is telling you that he loves you and he wants you to be part of his everlasting family, his forever family. And if you put your faith in him, and why not? I did it when I was a small child, but I'll tell you, I'm sure glad I did. I was never sorry I accepted Jesus. And that's my personal testimony. You know, he says, the eye hath not seen, neither hath the ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man what God hath revealed to them that walk uprightly. But God has showed it unto us. And you'll see the blessings and the glory of heaven already on this earth. You'll see it. And you'll experience some of that joy that you're going to have forever and ever in heaven, uninterrupted joy and forgiveness of sins. There's two places, heaven and hell. And your good works will never get you to heaven because you're not good enough. And God doesn't judge you by your neighbor, by your preacher, by your deacon or someone in the church. He judges you by a perfect standard who is Jesus Christ. And he's high and holy and undefiled. Jesus says, which of you convinceth me of sin? Jesus never sinned. He was God. He was perfect. And God compares us to him. But he gives his righteousness to us by faith. Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. That means you can be saved by faith in him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And believing means that you're willing to not only intellectually accept him, but accept him into your life as your Lord and Savior. The one to take charge of your life, the one to pay the penalty for your sin, the one to give you eternal life and give you a home forever with God. And I don't care what you've done, God says he's willing to forgive you and give you eternal life. And I pray today that you'd pray to him and put your faith in him and accept him as Lord and Savior. What a wonderful Lord he is. What a wonderful Bible we have that tells us about him. What an exciting book it is. We can thank God for it. Well, our time is up, and you go with God and keep your mind in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com.
That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at the same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.